We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A few years ago, Penny and I exchanged gifts for Mother's and Father's Day as a kind of analysis of our DNAs. We thought we'd be interesting to see what our, we thought we knew what our backgrounds were, but it might be interesting to check and see what the test would show. So we each got the little test and sent it in, and I was the one who was most surprised. My grandparents' names are Holstie or Holstea, Halle or Holly, Huffbauer, and Rippe or Rippe. So there's a little doubt in my mind that I was pretty much 100% German lineage and background. But the DNA came back and showed it was more like 55% German and a fair amount of English blood or DNA in me and a significant amount of Scandinavian DNA, plus some Eastern European. And so it reminds me that whoever we are, especially in the country of the United States, which is relatively few Native Americans and many immigrants, that all of our DNA can be rather mixed, but it still makes us who we are, no matter what our DNA is. It projects some things about us, such as maybe our body type and our color of skin and color of hair and predispositions to certain illnesses and things like that, but we are who we are. And people who teach about family systems and organizations also teach us that organizations and families have kind of DNA in them. It's not something you can touch, but it's intangible. Tendencies, energies, and connections within that are kind of stick with the family or stick with the organization and how the organization or the family does things going into the future. Just sort of there and follows with them. Well, on this anniversary of our congregation, we can look back at things and think of what's part of our congregational DNA. What's our makeup? Do we have tendencies or predispositions because of where we came from? Is there anything unique about who we are? We're not unique, but we might be a little different in that many congregations that we are now came together in kind of an amalgamation over time, as people from different congregations came to this congregation, and that makes us up. That's part of our DNA, that's part of who we are. And just as we often think of most people having four grandparents, this congregation has four strands, shall we say, to look back to. 120 years ago, a new congregation was started called Christ Evangelical Lutheran Church. It was started in then what was called Old Orchard, just east of here. And it was maybe a likely coincidence that just that same year of 1897, Old Orchard and the community of Old Orchard and the community of Webster merged to become Webster Groves. As a mission congregation, it met in a small space, perhaps a pastor's home in that neighborhood. Soon the group moved to a small building up on Atalanta Avenue, which has since been converted into a home. In 1917, the congregation moved its worship space to across the street from our parking lot over here. You still see the building right across in the parking lot. That was previously a church building of Christ Lutheran. It's now the Board of it's part of the Board of Education of Webster Groves complex. Then 76 years ago, this building was built. And it served us well, and I assume maintains much of the character of its original design, even though upgrades have occurred throughout the building, and we now look to renovating it to better fit our time. That little congregation that was begun in 1897 was affiliated with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It was served faithfully by several pastors, and the leadership of that congregation was very generous in caring for others. It adopted the practice in time of proposed, as I understand it, by the now sainted Carl Wolf, of pledging each year 20% of the offering proceeds that would go to support the outside work of the congregation. Over time, that was whittled down to 15%, but it's still our goal each year to be able to send to Synod and other causes at least 15% of our offerings. Music was important to that congregation then, too, as they made sure to build a good organ within this building, and we've been having seasonal cantatas here for a long time. Talking with one of the members who was here in the 1950s, she said that when it was joined, it was the people that was so important to them. They really respected the people of the congregation, felt welcomed, and felt that there was a genuineness about living the Christian faith. That's all part of our congregational DNA. A large number from another Lutheran group joined this congregation about 1986. The people of Living Word Lutheran Church in Ladue had come to a point after breaking off from a nearby Missouri Synod Church that they needed a new worship space after renting from yet another. Rather than build a new church, they worked out an agreement and joined with Christ Lutheran. They too brought with them a high degree of generosity. I also believe that the practice that we have of doing a special arrangement at the altar each week, not just flowers, but to arrange the flowers in a way that ties in with the readings of the week and the theme of the week came from that group as well. Also with that group came two pastors, Reverends Larry Neeb and Arden Mead. Pastor Neeb was the publisher and Pastor Mead was the lead writer for a Christian publishing enterprise called Creative Communications for the Parish. And while taking the church year and the Sunday themes seriously, Pastor Mead was able to rewrite the prayers and some hymns to bring contemporary meaning to worship. We continue to use those elements of worship in our prayers, especially in the worship prayers. Almost every week we have those words of Pastor Mead in our worship most Sundays. And Pastor Neeb was also instrumental in writing and publishing, especially the paper called Missouri in Perspective, which kept the people of the Evangelical Lutherans of Mission, often known as ELIM, informed, and was instrumental, and that group was, in the start of a church body, the AELC, Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches. A third group came over to Christ Lutheran in about 1996. They were members from Luther Memorial Lutheran Church in Richmond Heights. Among their pastors had been Reverend Bob Troutman, who also later was a member here and husband and father to some current members, of course, who are here. A member at that congregation was Reverend Arthur Carl Peepcorn. Dr. Peepcorn was a national, if not world, authority on historic and proper traditional worship. He was ecumenical in spirit and sought unity among Christians in worship. He embraced what we might call high and proper liturgy, going so that the church might be one, going all the way back to its beginnings. And no doubt this is part of the reason that we cherish liturgy investments, such as chasubles, in our weekly practice here at Christ Lutheran. There was that influence that was there. Another member pastor of that congregation who actually came to Christ Lutheran, Dr. Peepcorn, died before that move was ever made, but it was Dr. Robert Bertram, now sainted husband to Thelda. I would call Dr. Bertram the lead theologian for the movement, which became Seminex Christ Seminary in Exile and the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches. His spirit and priority of weaving faith and worship, liturgical worship, and daily life together lives with us and the church today. And another person of that legacy is Pastor Mark Rook. Mark Rook was a member and sometimes assisting pastor at Luther Memorial as he was needed there, but he is now on our staff as assisting minister. And while he assisted too in some of the publication of the Missouri in Perspective, his greater charge was fundraising, which allowed ELIM to continue to give rise to the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches, which was the catalyst group for uniting the American Lutheran Church and the Lutheran Church in America to become the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, our current church body. That congregation, Luther Memorial, was also generous in its outreach and was multiracial in its makeup. And so we cherish the sensitivity and the openness to all in the spirit of Jesus that has come to us from Luther Memorial. And people from a fourth congregation, Concordia Lutheran in Maplewood, also joined Christ Lutheran. They too brought a desire, a sense of desiring worship to be well done, profound generosity, fellowship, and caring for one another. Cletus Mowat-Romay was just one of that group. He'll be celebrating his 96th birthday tomorrow with other nonagenarians who gather at that gathering tomorrow afternoon. always gregarious. Cletus was a mechanical engineer in his work life and was among those who was a Mr. Fix-It around the church building until his health no longer permitted that. He wasn't the only one, but that was one of his roles, and he brought that talent to this congregation. Well, these four groups started 120 years ago, all have been together now for 20 years. It's been 20 years since we've been together. We rejoice at the good qualities and good DNA we have received from them, but we are also glad that a vast majority of our current membership is not necessarily of those predecessor groups. I can think of only one or two people on our current church council who was a member of one of those previous groups. That's a good sign for us. We aren't locked into our past. We aren't stuck somehow in something in the past that we might say, a word we might use in counseling or something like that, and saying, you're stuck where you're at. We're not stuck, we're moving forward. When we were all born, we all have a DNA makeup. And while our DNA may show itself in different ways, we need to still receive who we are and then determine how we will live as a child of God. What God gives us as individuals is stronger than our DNA. In baptism, we are reborn in Christ and able to live as Christ would have us live. Our original life will wants us to serve just ourselves. Our redeemed life will in Christ is given to us in baptism is stronger than our DNA predisposition to serve ourselves instead of serving God and others. Our congregation also lives with a mission given from God, and we seek to live out as well as possible the gift of life that God has given us. I think it's worthwhile to see what values we have received and want to keep in our character. We want to keep being generous to others, both for social aid and for the sake of the church at large. I'm happy to report that just this week, a check from here was sent off to Lutheran Disaster Relief from our congregation for the amount of $6,000. And that check then will be matched by the Lutheran Foundation, so it generated $12,000 for hurricane relief. And that's 100%. There's none of it is taken for running the organization. That's paid for through our benevolence. So 100% of that goes to help people who are in need. We continue to be generous to others. We want to continue to value what happens when we come together on Sunday morning. We value an encounter with God, a living God, so that we may go and serve and worship God by what we are doing during the week. And we still see meaningful hymns and music as a strong part of that experience, coming before the Lord and receiving the meal and receiving the word. And we continue to see ourselves as part of the one holy Christian church. We value our associations with those across the street and up and down the streets of Webster Groves, and we continue to be a part of interfaith partnership that we may be close to that DNA God has given us, that we are one as God's people. We want to be as close to God's desire as possible, being open and welcoming to all, no matter what the differences may be that meet our eyes, that we might be one as God has called us to be. And we want to be the people of God together. It is the people being together that brings us close together and keeps us together. Not that we just want to keep to ourselves, but no, just the opposite. When we hold hands, but think of ourselves holding hands facing outward, then, and it's kind of a circle, then we are doing what God wants us to do, to reach out to the community. We can be real with the community, with the people we see outside of ourselves, and share our common joys and our common challenges. Our Faith and Friends Community Day yesterday was a great way to start this next part of our history. We gather together with others from our community to begin to know them, and they us, and begin to build bridges where they become available. When we think about who we are in this town of Webster Groves, and that is our larger metro area, we think about how we might make a difference in our area, how God can use us for the good of the near community and the larger community and for the sake of the world. And as we do that, We are faithful to our inherited DNAs. It comes to us from our backgrounds. We are faithful to our baptisms. We are faithful to being the people called to live in Christ in this place. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.